All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 today, 1 Corinthians 13. And the last time we talked, which was a couple weeks ago, we dealt with how charity vaunteth not itself. And in other words, it had a humility, and charity is humble. And we dealt with the three aspects of a humble spirit, humble speech, and humble service. One thing I did forget to read to you at the end of the lesson on the last occasion, William Burkett said this about charity and about this vaunting not itself. Said, charity suppresses all self-applauding and admiring thoughts, all arrogancy in assuming to ourselves, and the undervaluing of others. Now, you think about that a little bit. Amen. It'll help you get a better perspective of yourself and others as well. All right? We should never exalt ourselves above others. Matter of fact, the Bible says point blank that we ought to esteem others higher than ourselves. Amen. And if we'll do that, and do that in the right manner, amen, we'll all come out okay. Amen. I believe that with the help of the Lord. All right, 1 Corinthians 13. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. And really, I don't have much, what you say, much of an outline today, but I have two points or two persons that we're going to deal with. And it'll take just a little bit of time today. I'll try not to run over too much, so we'll try to hurry on into this. All right, verse number 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Might I just say this quickly this morning before we get into our lesson. The Lord expects for us to have all three of these attributes, faith, hope, and charity. And, of course, when our teaching, we're dealing with the fact of all the different fruits of charity. And there's a whole lot there. It might be a good rewarding study to come back and deal with what faith is and what that hope is in a more detailed manner. I don't know if the Lord would ever let us do that or not, but if he did, that'd be all right, too. But we're dealing with the fruit of charity and what charity will yield in a Christian's life, Christian charity. And, of course, 2 weeks ago we looked at how charity vaunteth not itself because it is humble. Today we're going to see that it's not puffed up. And that word puffed up means to inflate, make proud, or blowing up, haughty. We as God's children ought to be able to abase ourselves. The truth is that we like being exalted, and there's not a one of us in here that don't like to hear somebody say something good about us. Not one of us in here like to hear somebody tell us just how devilish we might be or what's wrong in our life and how we're not as close to God as we ought to be. We would rather hear somebody say, you're doing a good job. Amen. And there's right times for exhorting the brethren, edifying the brethren. But the fact is that we're not good in ourselves. Amen. We're good in what the Lord allows us to accomplish. And he said here, that we ought to be careful and remember that God give Paul a thorn in the flesh, lest he be exalted above measure. There is a time that God will exalt us in life, but we must give him the glory. lest we receive a thorn in the flesh or a messenger of Satan to buffet us. Now we'll look at two examples of not being puffed up. And I believe probably, other than, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, I believe we'll look at two of the greatest men in the Word of God today. And, you know, we many times look at things, and I'm just as guilty. I was meditating on it and refreshing myself again. As you very well know, I've been going through charity on my broadcast, but I was looking and meditating on some things that last night, and then this morning again, just kind of refreshing myself with the lesson and being familiar again with what we're going to try to talk to you about today. And Lord showed me some more things about John the Baptist. I began to meditate on some more things about that, and I'll probably not deal with a lot of that today. But I do want to show you some things that I feel like the Lord give us on this particular lesson about how John the Baptist was not puffed up and about how Paul was not puffed up. Both of them had, in our viewpoint, probably a reason to be puffed up or to have that sense of pride, but yet they did not get puffed up, and the Lord did exalt them in their time. All right? If you would, turn with me to the book of Matthew and chapter number 3, of course, dealing with the thought of how charity is not puffed up. In the Matthew chapter number 3, of course, everybody's very familiar with this particular portion of Scripture and what the Lord did here with John the Baptist and how he came forth preaching. And I don't want to get to chasing too many rabbit tracks. I could preach for a while on that particular thought, how in those days, amen, he came forth preaching, and we need preaching today. Amen. In these days, we still need the preaching of the Word of God, and that preaching was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. And that preaching taught of the expectation of heaven. It taught of the emptiness of religion and the exaltation of Christ. Amen. And that's what our preaching ought to do today. Let people know there's a heaven to gain, a hell to shun. Amen. Let people know that there is emptiness in religion. We need salvation. Amen. And then the exaltation of Christ. Of course, everything that we do ought to exalt Christ. He said, if I, the Son of Man, be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So we need to exalt Christ. Is that not right? But the Bible says here in Matthew chapter number 3, and I'm not going to take time to read all those verses of Scripture, but if you'll pick up with me in verse number 11. Amen. John the Baptist here dealing with the thought of how he was not puffed up. We know that the Bible said that there was not born a greater than John the Baptist of women. All right? And Jesus said that, by the way, about him. Amen. And we can say what we want to say, but that's what the Lord said about John the Baptist. And he said here in verse number 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I see first of all here the fact of how John abased himself. And brethren, we need to take heed to that lesson today. It doesn't matter how mighty we might be going to be used for the Lord or how mighty we are being used for the Lord. We need to remember that we are but flesh and that we can fall and that it is through the help of God that we can do anything. And he did not deny who he was. He did not deny his call. He did not deny the fact that he was to make straight the paths of our Lord. as was prophesied about him in the book of Isaiah. But the fact is here, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. So we see that he let the people know that he was nothing in himself. Amen. It was that one that he was preparing the way for. It was the one that he was telling them about. And we need to be telling others about Christ. Amen. We can talk about how good we are. We can talk about the things that we're doing that's good. And rightfully so, we ought to have good works about us. But those works ought to show forth a light that points people to Christ. Amen. And we see that when Christ came, not only did he have this humble spirit to the people, but we see that when Christ came on the scene and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, I want you to baptize me, John. John said, Lord, I need to be baptized of thee. I don't deserve to bear your shoes. I don't deserve to baptize you. I don't deserve to have anything to do with you, but I need to be baptized of thee. But he said, suffer it to be so that all righteousness would be fulfilled. So he baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to say that we need to be careful about how we exalt ourselves. We need to abase ourselves, not only to people, but to the Lord. When you come before the throne of grace, when you pray and you ask God to do things for you in your life, and you're just thanking him maybe for things that he has done, are you arrogant in your prayer life? I mean, how do you approach the throne of grace? Brother Steve is teaching on that model prayer in the Sunday school. Or do we really reverence him in the person that he is? Amen. The place and the position that he holds. I mean, how is our prayer life? Are we abasing ourselves in prayer that God may exalt us in due time? And, of course, I will go and have been there on other occasions, and I will go there in future occasions on dealing with this charity. But the Bible says, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. But he that exalts himself or lifts himself up shall be abased. And we need to be careful about how we approach the Lord or others concerning ourselves. Let me turn over real quick before I deal with this second thought to Matthew chapter number 23 and read verse number 12 real quick. The Bible said in Matthew chapter number 23 and verse number 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Now that's what Jesus is telling, amen, his disciples, and telling those crowds of the Pharisees and the scribes. He said, if you exalt yourself, he said, you're going to be abased. And if you'll abase yourself, you'll humble yourself, you shall be exalted. And he gives us that throughout the Word of God in many different occasions. I want to say, secondly here, we see not only that John the Baptist abased himself, but within we see that God did exalt him in that time to come. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 11. And I want to say many times, I do personally, and I want to say probably most of us do here, we get ahead of God. Amen. We come to a place in our life that we get tired of being patient and waiting on the Lord. But the Bible did say in Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles, they shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. And if we'll learn to be patient with the Lord, then the Lord will exalt us in the due time. And I believe when that time of exaltation comes, then we will definitely point others to Christ, because we'll realize that it is him that has exalted us. I believe it was Peter and James, when they saw that those men were unlearned men, but they recognized that they had been with the Lord. Amen. And, you know, we ourselves, if we just learn to wait on God and find God in our life and follow him and search for him and keep him preeminent in our life, we'll see that God will exalt us in time, that others will see Christ through us. Amen. But I want to say, secondly here, as we're dealing with the fact of how John was abased, but then how he was exalted in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 11, and verses 1 down through verse number 15. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Somebody once said, how in the world could John, after seeing the Lord Jesus Christ come, after preaching and preparing the paths for his feet, after baptizing him, how in the world could he come to this place in his life that he would even doubt if he was the Messiah or not? And, you know, I know there's some different opinions concerning that. Some don't believe he really doubted. Some believe he sent these disciples so that they would know for sure that he was the Christ and that they would continue following on in the things of the Lord. I personally believe John came to a place that he was in doubt. He didn't know for sure, and he needed some help. And I know personally in my life it has happened, and I'm sure probably some of you, if it hasn't happened, it might happen. Amen. And I hope when it does that the Lord will give you grace and sufficient grace. Amen. He will if you'll look for it and you'll ask for it and you'll go to the throne of grace to obtain it. Amen. He'll give you the help that you need to get through it. But I believe John come to a place in his mind that he just could not seem to get over this thought, well, is he or is he not? Amen. I mean, you know, is it time? And John might have known that when the Lord stepped up on the scene to begin his ministry, he might have known that that was the time for him to pass on out of this life. And so that could have been part of the reason why he was wanting to know this as well. But I believe in his persecution and in the time of prison here, of course, you know, he was thrown into prison for preaching against Herod and Herodias in their adultery and how he had taken his brother Philip's wife. And because of that, he was thrown into prison. And, of course, you know the story of how he ended up being beheaded there because of that preaching that he did. But the fact is, John here, I believe, comes to a place in his mind that he doubted what was going on in his life. Maybe not so much of doubting in Christ, but doubting what was going on in his life. And he said, I need to know for sure if this is the Christ or do we look for another. So he sent his disciples and asked. Now notice what Jesus said. And here's the reason why I pinpoint this back to what they say the third suggestion of what this means is because Jesus addressed them in a personal sense, dealing with the personal aspect of John. In verse number 4, he said, Jesus answered and said to them, go and show John. He didn't say, you need to take heed to what I'm telling you, necessarily. He said, you go and show John. He said, go and show John again those things which he do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Amen. And then notice what he said in verse number 6, and blessed is he. Whosoever shall not be offended in me. He said, you go tell John what's going on. You tell John not to be offended. Just go ahead and keep serving me. Everything's going to be all right. Amen. Now notice what Jesus says concerning John in the next few verses. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. You didn't only go out there and see a prophet, you saw more than a prophet. Notice the honor that Jesus is giving unto John. He said here in verse number 10, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Not risen a greater. There might be some that's there at that point. There might be some that's put in a high esteem. But there's not been a greater than John the Baptist. But yet John the Baptist had some problems, didn't he? Amen. I mean, some doubts came in his life and in his mind concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, there's not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And of course, I believe Jesus comes back and gives that record there for the fact of them not thinking that not one or one that is preferred above another. He said, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that the Lord does not exalt one above another. You know, our position, our place of service maybe might be somewhat different, and man in their eyes might look at it as somewhat of a higher place of authority, but Jesus said that one that came to that should be the one that is served, should be the one that is held in esteem is the one that serves you and ministers unto you. Amen. And that's what we all are. We're just ministers of Christ. And I don't mean preachers now. I'm talking about ministers, helpers. Amen. In the work of God. You know, whether we preach the gospel or whether we sit on a pew and amen the preaching, whether we pass out a gospel tract, whether we witness door to door our person as we come in contact with them, we are doing God's service and we're supposed to be doing that for the glory of God. And if we are, we're not above one another. Amen. We are held in the same esteem. But the fact is, here in verse number 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I did a little reading on that again this morning, and dealing with that. And you know, and this is not an easy journey, folks. Amen. It's not talking about working your way to heaven as far as to earn salvation. But if you're going to get to heaven and you're going to receive the reward God wants to give you, you're going to have to take it by violence. I mean, there's going to be some zeal that you're going to need to have. There's going to be some work that you're going to have to do, some labor and some toiling and some suffering of the persecution for the things of righteousness. But the Bible said here, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I want to submit to you today, you need to hear. You need to hear that you need to abase yourself or humble yourself before God that he may exalt you in due time when the time is right, when it's due. Amen. And then I want to deal with secondly, quickly, I guess now. Didn't realize I spent that much time on John the Baptist. But secondly, I want to deal with Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. If you'll turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And verse number 1. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Paul's saying here, he said, I didn't deserve to see him. I didn't deserve, amen, to hear anything about him, much less seeing. But the fact is, he presented himself to me. Amen? And thank God, on September 8, 1985, he presented himself to me. Amen? He didn't have to. I didn't deserve for him to, but he did. Amen? And I thank God that he did. Hallelujah. But anyway, I don't want to get too excited there. Hallelujah. For I am the least of the apostles, Paul said, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Notice here what he said, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Paul said there wasn't nothing good in me. I didn't deserve for him to show himself to me. He said, all these folks that can say that they've labored is fine. He said, I can say I labored more abundantly, but it still wasn't me. It was the grace of God that was given to me. Amen. And worked through me. And we need to learn to exalt Christ. If we would learn to exalt Christ and lift him up, as John 3 says, amen, then we would see sinners get saved by the grace of God. We'd see the saints back in their place in position of worship unto the Lord, giving him all the glory that he deserves, amen, and us not taking any for ourselves, and we'd see revival take place in our life, amen. But he said here, whether they preach or whether I preach, it doesn't matter as long as they believe. Amen. He did not try to take any glory. He did not try to exalt himself where he did not need to be exalted. Amen. Matter of fact, he said, if I'm going to glory, I'll glory in the cross. Amen. But in the book of Philippians, in chapter number 3, and then I'll close. In the book of Philippians, chapter number 3, not only do we see Paul basing himself there in 1 Corinthians, letting them know that it was not him, but it was the grace of God that he is what he is. Amen. And it's by the grace of God you are what you are. Amen. I might not be much, and I guarantee you I'm not much. And I guarantee you I could be a lot more than what I am for Christ if I'd really devote myself to Him like I ought to. But the fact is, I am what I am this morning by the grace of God. I've been saved, called, sanctified, sealed, and one day will be delivered. Amen. Unto that glorious kingdom. In Philippians chapter number 3, the Bible said in verse number 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Amen. Brother Hall, I believe, said Wednesday night, we learn a lot by repetition. And that is true. And it's not grievous for us to preach the same things and along the same lines and about the same thoughts. Amen. But for those of us that are hearing that preaching, it is safe. We need those things. We need to be constantly reminded of what the Lord has done, what He's doing, amen, and what He's going to do. He said, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. I want you to notice why Paul said he could have more confidence in the flesh than these other men. He said, number one, he said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Circumcised the eighth day. The Jewish law that all Jewish males were to be circumcised on the eighth day. And no doubt some were not able to be circumcised the eighth day due to sickness or maybe due to having to take their journey and travel or whatever the case may have been. But the fact is, he said, I was. Amen. From the beginning of my birth, I have kept the law. Now notice what he said. He said he was of the stock of Israel. Amen. That's of Jacob's loins. Amen. He come out of the seed of Jacob. Amen. Israel. God's, amen, seed there. He come out of that. And of course, that was high esteem. I mean, that was, Jacob was held high as the father. Amen. Of the nation of Israel. Notice here what he said here in number 3. He said of the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe that didn't fall into idolatry. The tribe that stayed right before God. The tribe that kept their worship right before the Lord. Then he said, an Hebrew of the Hebrews. Amen. In the day, according to some of the scholars that I read after him, in the day that they was dealing with here, Paul said, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, what he meant was, of course, you know, he was born in Tarsus, supposedly a wicked city. But the fact was, his mother and his daddy was a Hebrew, true bred, and so he was a true Hebrew. Amen. He was not anything mixed. There was no Gentile blood added into his being. Amen. His person. And he said, I am a Hebrew of the Hebrew. Now, many of us, you know as well as I know, if you search your seed back, you know, you're going to have maybe some Indian, you're going to have this, you're going to have that. Amen. None of us are, per se, a true breed. But Paul said, could say, I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Amen. I am true and pure in my breeding. Notice here what he said, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Well, in other words, one that was blameless. I mean, one that held the law to the highest esteem. It didn't matter who liked it, who didn't like it. Amen. He obtained to the law. He said in verse number 6, he said concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Now, we know persecuting the church was not right. But if you'll notice there, concerning zeal and then a comma. Then he said persecuting the church. And one of the writers said concerning that zeal that we ought to have zeal. And I didn't take time to write down all the verses of Scripture. I believe there was about 6 of them there. That they give in particular, but concerning that zeal, are we zealous for the Lord? Amen. In our humility, in humbling ourselves, we ought to be zealous for the service of God. Now, Paul was so zealous, even as a lost man, Paul was so zealous that he persecuted those that he thought were of false doctrine, those that were of a cult, if you please. Amen. And so he persecuted those thinking that he was doing God a service. But, I mean, we have the truth today, brethren, and how zealous are we concerning the truth? Amen. We ought to get the truth out and stand before the Lord. But he said not only that in concerning zeal persecuting the church, but touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. He said from the day of my birth up to now, you can go back and see that in my life I have kept those respects of the law. He didn't say he was sinless. But he kept the avenue of the law. I mean, he lived according to the law. Everything that the law commanded concerning him was kept. He was circumcised the eighth day after he was born. Amen. And just so forth and so on. I'll not go into all that. But he kept that law as he ought to keep that law. And so anyway, we need to learn to keep the law of God. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? You talking about living sinless? No, I'm talking about keeping the law of God as we know it. None of us have totally obtained or attained unto the law in full understanding. But as God gives us understanding what this book is saying, we ought to change our life to live accordingly, to match up to what the Lord is saying in this book. It's not necessarily what I say. It's not necessarily what Brother Hall says. It's not necessarily what anybody else says. It's what this Bible says. And if this Bible is teaching you something pertaining to things in your life, you need to line up with what Jesus said. Amen. And if you'll line up with what he said, you'll be all right. Amen. But then let's go on. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He said, the things that look like they built me up, the things that look like I am worthy of some exaltation, he said, those things I've counted for loss. And he even said he counts them all but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus his Lord. And I'll not take time to go through and read all that. But if you'll come on down through here, he talks about in verse number 12, he said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Say, preacher, I have not attained. I have not come to that place in my life. Well, here's what you need to do. He said, I forget those things which are behind. We can't change the past. But we can take a place in the present and begin to proceed to go forth. And that's what he said. He said, I'm forgetting all those things which are behind, all those things concerning my childhood coming up under the law, blameless and all that. He said, I'm forgetting about how I persecuted the church. I'm forgetting all those things. And now I'm going for Christ. Now I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. And he said, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, we don't need to back up. I know we tease a lot and talk about me being compromised in the gray area and all that kind of stuff, but we don't need to be backing up. Amen. I understand there is a balance. I understand all those things, and I'm learning more and more about it every day that I live and study the Word of God and hear the preaching of the Word of God. But the fact is, we don't need to back up. And if we're trying to back up and we get mad at the preaching of the Word of God because we're backing up, we're compromising, if you please, then we're not right. Amen. We need to learn to go forward, not back up. Well, you know, that was okay for that time, and I just did it because the preacher preached again. Well, if it was right then, it's still right. You just need to get it settled in your heart that it's still right. Amen. Well, here we go. Amen. I knew I'd get in trouble and all that. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. People that back up usually become enemies. Amen. We need to be careful, don't we? Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Say, preacher, when did he exalt Paul? Well, I believe in the Scriptures you can find that Paul was exalted all through his ministry. And especially there at the end, he said, yea, though all men forsook him, nevertheless the Lord stood with him and delivered him, amen, from the lion and from Satan and all that. But what Paul was saying there at the end of that chapter, he said, even though I might not attain to all these things here, one day I will. God bless you.